Examination tape for the use of English listening tests, 1993. Introduction. Situation. As a Form 6 student in a Hong Kong secondary school, you have been chosen to attend a forum on educational opportunities in other countries. The forum is divided into two parts, and you will be taking notes using the note headings provided to enable you to report back to your fellow students. Part 1. In this part, the chairperson will introduce the speakers, who will each talk about the college or university he or she represents. You will now have 5 minutes to familiarize yourself with the note headings for Part 1 before the forum begins. The forum is about to begin. You will only hear the recording once.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Jane Chan, and I'm the principal of St. Edward's College, where this forum is being held. I'm very happy to welcome so many of you here today. The title of our forum, as I'm sure you all know, is Higher Education Abroad, and it's been organized by the Careers Teachers Association for the benefit of Form 6 students. I'm sure we are all grateful to the Careers Teachers Association for organizing the forum as their annual project. The aim of the forum is to give you a clearer picture of tertiary education overseas. Now, the way we are going to do that is to let you compare three widely differing institutions abroad, so you'll see some of the options open to you. To help us do this, we have a speaker from each institution. I'll introduce them to you now. First, we have Mr. Albert Wong, representing Frost College. That's in Vermont, in the United States. Mr. Wong is now a financial analyst at a big firm right here in Hong Kong in Central. He's very successful in his field, but he's here today in his capacity of recruitment officer for Frost College. Also from the United States is Ms. Cynthia Jones. She's representing Wheatfield University in Minnesota, where she works as a professor. And of course, she'll be speaking in that capacity today. And finally, from the United Kingdom, we have Dr. Raymond Foster, now a writer living in London, and a former lecturer at the University of Cornwall, which, of course, is why he is here today. Dr. Foster lectured there for over 10 years. History, wasn't it, Dr. Foster? Not that his subject is important, anyway. Mr. Wong from Frost College will speak first. Mr. Wong?
Thank you, Mrs. Chan. I think I should begin by clearing up a misunderstanding many people in Hong Kong seem to have about colleges and universities in the U.S. Colleges are smaller institutions in which a greater proportion of the students are undergraduates. College undergraduate degree programs are subject to accreditation criteria, which are the same as those of universities, and are equally respected. The standard is not lower, it's exactly the same. The reason why they are not so well known outside the United States is because they do much less research. Is research which has made universities such as Stanford or Harvard famous all over the world, not their undergraduate courses. Frost is a liberal arts college, which is probably something new to you, so let me explain a bit. First of all, the goal of Frost College is to turn out well-rounded individuals. The college does not want to produce a bunch of narrowly trained specialists, proficient in their own fields and nothing else. The college meets this goal by having what's known as a distribution requirement. What does this distribution requirement do? Well, it requires students to take one course in each of four areas. These areas are the sciences, the social sciences, the arts, and finally, foreign languages. You'll be able to fulfill the foreign language requirement with Chinese if you want to, or you can try your hand at Japanese, for example. The only required course is first year English. Everyone has to take that. Otherwise, as the name liberal arts suggests, you have plenty of choice. Since we don't offer advanced degrees, and the professors are committed to teaching, they give the students a lot of attention. It's not easy to get away with being lazy when there are only 9 students to each teacher. But hardworking students really appreciate it. A special feature of our system is that students don't have to declare a major until their second year. You can use the first year to shop around for something that really interests you. Students are encouraged to attend lectures and seminars, even if they themselves aren't taking the course. Then they don't miss out on something that interests them. Our students find this really helpful. I'm sure you're wondering what life would be like if you were a student at Frost. Frost is a small college in a small, rather isolated town, Addison, in Vermont. There's only one cinema, but Frost makes up for that by sponsoring concerts, plays, and showings of foreign films on campus. There are no parking meters. You don't have to rush back to your car before the meter expires, as you do in Hong Kong. And there are no Chinese restaurants, though sometimes Chinese students do get together and cook for themselves. This smallness I mentioned earlier has its advantages. All students live on campus, that is, in the college itself, which most students think is a good idea. Another point is you really feel part of the community in a way that you don't in big impersonal cities like Hong Kong. The local shopkeepers, for example, will soon know you by name, and so will the postman if you get a lot of letters from home, and the doctor if you get sick. Thirdly, Frost may be isolated geographically, but our students come from all over the world, so it's a cosmopolitan atmosphere on campus. I wasn't the first student from Hong Kong to attend Frost, and I'm sure there will be many more to follow. Finally, let me mention one aspect of life at Frost that I didn't find so pleasant at first. Vermont winters are long, cold, and snowy. But there's a bright side to this. For example, one of the benefits is that the bad weather forces you inside to study. In my first year, I stayed indoors all the time. Well, seriously, in my second year, I began to see some advantages of winter. For instance, snow makes even ugly buildings look beautiful. And after the first snowfall, everything really does look like a scene on a Christmas card. Also, the cold weather makes you feel lively and alert, not heavy and sleepy like you feel in Hong Kong when it's hot and humid. And finally, of course, there's a chance to learn winter sports, skiing, skating, or ice hockey, for example. Ice hockey, in fact, is a really popular and exciting sport to play. That's all I have to say for now. I'll be happy to answer questions later in the session.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. Now let's hear from Miss Cynthia Jones from Wheatfield University in Minnesota. Miss Jones.
Thank you, Mrs. Chan. Before coming here, I've been to many other places and met lots of students. But the most impressive of all are the Hong Kong students. Their dedication, you know what I mean? They're so committed to their studies. And also, of course, I'm impressed with the intelligence of the students, and indeed of the staff in Hong Kong. This is my first visit to Hong Kong, but I've had lots of contact with Hong Kong students at Wheatfield. We like Hong Kong students, and we want more. The most important thing we offer at Wheatfield is diversity. You can study almost anything at Wheatfield: Chinese history, botany, filmmaking, hotel management, you name it, we've got it. With such diversity, I couldn't possibly introduce our courses to you now. So instead, let me talk a little about the facilities that our students make use of. First of all, there's the library. It has a large collection of international journals, and it's still growing. We keep on subscribing to more. It even has a few books, but you'd expect that, of course. The library also houses a large collection of videotapes. Wheatfielders make good use of these, often grouping together to watch. Secondly, there's our computer center. It's open 24 hours a day, and eager students often work throughout the night when it's nice and quiet. And if you're computer illiterate, as I was until a few years ago, you can take an introductory course run by the center. I must also mention our sports center. In addition to all the usual sports activities you'd expect at a university sports center, which I won't bother to mention, it offers individually tailored courses to keep students fit while they study. Your health and fitness will be carefully assessed first, and you'll be put on the program that's right for you. I'd also point out, too, that there's ample equipment for all, so there's no need to book or wait. Quite unlike the situation in Hong Kong, so I've been told. There is a small charge for using the equipment, but you'll be pleased to find the fees are low. That's a deliberate policy to encourage student use. Finally, I'd like to talk about how Hong Kong students adapt to life at Wheatfield. When you move to a totally new environment, there's always a certain culture shock. But at Wheatfield, there are some things which alleviate this culture shock. There's a special orientation program to help new arrivals settle in. This orientation program is organized by the Hong Kong Students Society, so they'll make you feel at home. Also, unlike the earlier speaker, Mr. Wong, I'm able to promise you several good Chinese restaurants in town. They're not quite up to Hong Kong standards, but nonetheless, they're very popular. And our library subscribes to Hong Kong newspapers, both in English and Chinese, such as the South China Morning Post and the Ming Pao. So you'll be able to keep up to date with what's happening back home. Well, my time's up. Please feel free to ask me questions later.
Thank you, Miss Jones. Our third speaker is Dr. Raymond Foster from the University of Cornwall in the United Kingdom. Dr. Foster?
Thank you, Mrs. Chan. I would like to begin by stressing the advantages of doing a degree course in England. Our degree courses normally last for 3 years, not four. This gives you two advantages, in fact. The shorter duration saves you time, so you won't be away from home for so long. And secondly, it saves you money because you pay less fees. Another popular advantage is that it's legal for you to take a job outside the university and pick up work experience and a bit of cash too, though we hope you won't do that during term time. That's an opportunity you won't get in the States, where you're only allowed to work on campus. If you prefer, however, you can do extra study or work on your projects in the holidays. A fourth advantage to Hong Kong students is that our education system is fully compatible with yours. That is, the syllabuses are much the same. For example, this compatibility makes life easier both when you're applying for a course, your A-levels will be readily accepted there, and when you're graduating, as our degrees are graded just like those of local universities. Now, let me give you a brief description of the attractions of Cornwall. Cornwall is located in the extreme southwest corner of England. The climate is mild. The temperature is generally a few degrees higher than in the rest of the country. It's easily accessible by road and by rail. You can get to London by high-speed train in just under 4 hours. But what Cornwall is best known for is its magnificent scenery, especially along the coast. It's wonderful for those of you interested in photography, but I think everyone appreciates it. Now, a bit about the university itself. We have a student population of about 8,000, of whom nearly 2,000 are postgraduates. Cornwall University is a much younger institution than either Frost or Wheatfield. We were founded in 1973, so we are currently celebrating our 20th anniversary. Though we lack the traditions of more established universities, our youth does give us an advantage. Namely, we are not afraid to innovate, to try out new ideas and approaches. Take naval architecture, for example, which is concerned with designing and building ships. Our degree in naval architecture, however, focuses on small pleasure boats rather than traditional shipping. I've noticed pleasure boats are popular in Hong Kong, so maybe some of you will consider our new degree in naval architecture. Secondly, our degree course in physiotherapy also has a very up-to-date approach, with a lot of emphasis on sports injuries. Sport is big business these days, and we can't afford to neglect it. But our most innovative program is East European Studies. Cornwall was quick to take advantage of the changing political scene in Europe, and this course is the result. It combines business studies with an East European language. For example, if a student is interested in specializing in business in Poland, he would study business and Polish. Oh, and that reminds me of a fifth advantage of studying in England that I forgot to mention earlier. It gives you a very good opportunity to tour Europe. Many of our students take advantage of their student travel passes to see Paris for themselves. Doesn't that appeal to you? Oh, I see Mrs. Chan is looking at her watch. I'd better sit down.
Thank you, Dr. Foster.
That's the end of part one. You will now have 5 minutes to tidy up what you have written. Part 2. In this part, you will hear the question and answer session, also chaired by Mrs. Jane Chan. You will now have 3 minutes to familiarize yourself with the headings for Part 2.
Welcome back, everyone. Now it's time for the question and answer session. Before you ask your question, please identify yourself. Yes?
My name is Tim Lee, and I'm a Form 6 arts student here at St. Edward's. As Mr. Albert Wong went from Hong Kong to the United States to study, I'd like to ask him if he had any problems with English when he was studying there.
Good question, Tim. Of course, there were difficulties at the beginning, both inside and outside the classroom. In class, I sometimes encountered unfamiliar words, but that's always a problem when you study something new. Literature was really tough, especially Shakespeare's plays. We had to read 3 of them in 1 year. And when I took a Chinese history course, I had great difficulty learning the English versions of Chinese names. You know, the romanization of Chinese names. Outside the classroom, I had a problem with accents. You know, the way people say things rather than what they say. For example, they say car rather than car, and God rather than God. The accent is quite different from the Hong Kong accent or the BBC English we're used to in Hong Kong. Another point is that at first I was puzzled by some idiomatic expressions that Hong Kong people generally don't use. Idioms such as "I'll drop you off" or "that's a real rip-off" meant nothing to me when I first heard them. Finally, as you probably know, certain words are used differently in British and American English. I once said to a well-dressed classmate, "You look very smart today." And he said, "How can you tell?" You see, in American English, smart only means intelligent. How did I overcome my difficulties? Well, I read as much as I could in English. Also, I took every opportunity to speak English. I believe in the saying, practice makes perfect. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Let's have another question. Yes, that young lady in the second row.
I'm Vanessa Lau, and I'm now working as a computer programmer. But I want to further my studies abroad. I'd like to ask each representative about costs. How much would it cost me to attend one of these institutions?
Miss Jones, would you like to speak first?
Thank you, Mrs. Chan. The total cost of a year at Wheatfield is about $12,000.
Excuse me interrupting. You mean U.S. dollars, I suppose?
Oh, yes, of course. I should have said, that's a lot of money, for sure, but much less than private colleges and universities in the U.S. That $12,000 includes all tuition fees and a number of other things. Accommodation in the student hostel, canteen meals, but it's all American food, I'm afraid, books and stationery, and, I'm pleased to say, it even leaves a small amount for entertainment. Now, if your family can't raise the full $12,000, there are ways that we can help. We don't have scholarships for overseas students, but there's a student loan program, and you'll be pleased to hear the interest rate is very low. And you can work part-time, though only on campus, in the library or computer center, for example. Quite a lot of our students do that.
Dr. Foster?
Well, I can't give you an exact figure for the fees. They range between £4,000 and £7,000, though. It all depends on what you study, but it's all printed out for you in the brochure. The fees at Cornwall are the same as at other British universities, but I'm afraid we don't provide any financial assistance for students. May I remind you, though, that the cost of living in Cornwall is relatively low, much lower than London, for example, and this is definitely an advantage to students studying at Cornwall.
Thank you, Dr. Foster. Now let's hear from Mr. Wong.
An education at Frost is expensive. Over $20,000. That's American dollars again, of course, for 1 year of study. But you should bear in mind these points. First of all, financial assistance is available, much as Ms. Jones described at Whitfield. Another thing, everyone leads a very simple life at Frost, so you won't spend much on extras. Even students from rich families spend very little. Finally, I'm confident Frost is worth every penny, and you'll get a better education.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. Any more questions? Oh, yes, the gentleman in the grey suit.
Thank you. I'm James Major. I report for the South China Morning Post, Hong Kong's main English newspaper. Recently in Hong Kong, we've read about the problem of racial discrimination on university campuses abroad. Now, I'd like to ask our three speakers how serious that problem is.
Miss Jones?
Yes, I thought that might come up. Racial conflict is a sad fact of life in the U.S., but we at Wheatfield fight against it. How do we do that? Well, university policy requires the dean of students' office to investigate immediately any complaint of racial discrimination which it receives. Let me emphasize, it only receives complaints very occasionally, but everyone is investigated and action is taken if necessary. If the complaints are found to be justified, the offenders can be suspended or even expelled. So far, it's only been necessary to suspend 2 students. Such cases are rare, I assure you.
Mr. Wong, would you like to comment?
Let me speak from my personal experience. On campus, I was treated the same as everyone else. No one seemed to notice I was Chinese. However, there is something you must expect. A Chinese student at Frost is one of a tiny minority in a state where very few Chinese people live. You will be conspicuous in the town of Edison itself. And you'll be stared at sometimes, something like Westerners in a village in China would find everyone staring at them. It's not a great problem, though, and you'll quickly get used to it.
Dr. Foster, do you have anything to add?
Well, we've never had any problems with racial discrimination at Cornwall. Not one single complaint. In fact, the local students and the overseas students get on very well together. The 4 students in our debating team came from 4 different continents, and very successful they were, too. Problems? No, of course not.
Well, now it's time for refreshments. If there are any more questions, feel free to approach our guests as you enjoy a cup of coffee. Thank you, everyone.
That's the end of the forum. You will now have 10 minutes to tidy up your notes. That's the end of the test. Stop writing now and put down your pencil.